Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings. March's biggest tournament is finally here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting new customers in the center of the action. Bet $4 on an underdog, win $256 if they win. It's that simple. Pick one of many select college basketball underdogs for your shot at winning $256, and all it takes is a $4 bet. So download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code KSN when you sign up to turn $4 into $256 if the underdog of your choosing pulls off the upset. That's code KSN for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino, see DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It is the Keystone Kickoff Show, quarter number one. I am Jim Galante along with Dustin Hawkinsmith. Dustin, are y'all ready to talk Penn State football?
Yeah, that's the official start of spring, and it's interesting timing because it was warm all last week, then the start of spring practice. This week, it's 40 degrees, so go figure.
You know what? It could be worse, Dusty. I saw in my Facebook social page where, you know, how it shows you memories on this date from a couple years ago. I posted a picture of my backyard with about a foot and a half of snow.
That's the perspective I needed this morning.
That's right. That's a glass half full kind of sentiment there. But you're right. It is the start of spring practice, Dusty, and I've got to look at this as a pretty big spring practice for James Franklin and his staff, coming off a 4-5 season, no spring practice a year ago. This one's pretty important, isn't it?
It needs to be productive. I'm not going to say it needs to make up for the fact that they didn't have it last year, but the fact that they weren't able to try to get on the same page in a more traditional environment last year really ended up hurting that team. I don't think anybody will come out and say that directly. I mean, we'll see. Maybe James Franklin will at some point. But with four new coaches, a new offense, you can talk all day long about how well Sean Clifford was learning on Zoom calls and how much he was studying the playbook. Without being able to go through those steps and get on the same page, they didn't really have much of a chance, I thought, to get off to a fast start last year. I think it was absolutely mandatory. It would have hurt really bad because they're not in an entirely different position this offseason. Three new coaches and a new offense. So they needed spring practice to get up and running and get on the same page.
And another point, Dwight Gault met the media last week, Dustin. And, of course, he was as positive as ever with every position and every question that he received. But he did bring up a point that I thought was pretty important. As young as this team is and as large as, you know, the last couple recruiting classes were, I believe he said it's over half the players have not experienced spring practice before.
How about that?
Yeah, I think that makes it even more important because, you know, with so many players having not experienced it, and it's about them learning things where they didn't have that opportunity a year ago.
And it's putting, you know, it's putting your off-season work to the test. All the stuff that you did in the weight room, all the stuff that you did on your own, all the, you know, independent work, it's putting it into a real football setting and kind of centering yourself when it comes to being part of this team. And I think in the past, I wouldn't say that I've ever trivialized spring practice before, but maybe I've understated the importance of it before, and just because it's such a routine part of what college football programs do now. I won't trivialize spring practice anymore, especially in this situation, as you said, with such a young team, a team that hasn't gone through these steps before, and after coming off last year. You know, spring practice is a big deal for this team at this point in time, and they need to make it a productive 15 sessions. We'll see. As we're sitting here right now, we don't really have any word on what blue-white is going to look like, if anything. But you know, I think that's always been just another practice for these guys anyway.
And the other part to that is blue-white game is more for us than it is for the team. I believe that, and I stated this on the show previously, Dustin, that I believe if you give James Franklin an excuse for not having the game, he will take advantage of that excuse. This spring, they have that excuse. So I don't see the blue-white game happening. And again, I think the only ones who are going to be disappointed by that are going to be the fans. The other part to this, Dustin, and we've kind of talked about it, though, is coming off a 4-5 season, and if you look at next year's schedule and how daunting it is, it makes us wonder what kind of team do you have? Remember, a year ago, the preseason rankings had it as this team as a top 10 team. You're not seeing them as a top 10 team in any of those early rankings, are you?
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, putting aside the fact that if this team is hot and it gets into the top four or whatever, like you're starting behind schedule if you're the number 23 team in the country or whatever. Put that aside for a second. But just I think it's a blessing to not be saddled with those expectations to start the year and be able to kind of focus on what you got to do. But it's so important that these guys make all this practice count. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what we'll learn exactly, but I don't know what to say the strength of this team is. I don't know whether to what to call the identity of the defense. I don't know what to call the identity of the offense yet. There's so much stuff that's still out there that's, you know, in our view, unresolved. You know, we don't know what kind of impact Mike Yurcich is going to make. We don't know what kind of year Sean Clifford might have under his watch. Is he going to step forward? Without knowing a lot of these details, it's really hard to know what to expect when this season begins. And as you say, you know, with Wisconsin and Auburn to start the year, you better have yourself figured out by August. You better figure out what you're trying to accomplish on both sides of the ball at that point.
That is the point. I believe over the last several years, we've just grown accustomed to expecting a 10-win season from James Franklin's team. That, you know, the spring did become routine. But this year, all of that changes. All right, Dustin, I'd like to change gears a little bit if we could. This week, it marks the end of the college basketball season for Penn State Hoops. And, you know, it was a fascinating year. You had Jim Ferry as the interim coach. There were a couple highs, a lot of lows with this team through the year. And I believe the expectation was that we might see them get into the NIT. That did not happen. Quickly, what's your take just on the past season and their performance?
Well, I mean, a couple of I don't know how the NIT isn't going to take a team like Penn State. What were they, 35 in KenPom's ranking, had the number one strength of schedule in the country. You know, they were, what, 11-14. I don't know what reason the NIT could have for not selecting this team, but I don't think that's a bad thing. In the grand scheme of Penn State basketball, I think having the NIT and having the opportunity to get hot in the NIT, I don't think that was something that the Penn State basketball program really needed at this point in time. I know they all wanted it, but I think it makes the decision-making in a huge offseason much more clear that they're not playing in this tournament and don't have a chance to sort of disrupt the message. The other thing I would say is, how do you go about fixing the fact that you've had, you know, two different coaches, Jim Ferry and Patrick Chambers, and still the same personality where you're finding ways to lose games and inventing ways to lose games and doing the same thing, the same heartbreaking stuff with two different people leading the program? How do you shake loose out of that? How do you break those trends? That's something that will be fascinating as they move ahead into the next chapter here.
It was the same players. Remember, Jim Ferry was on Pat Chambers' staff. My understanding was Ferry was the offensive coordinator, so the offense you saw under Pat Chambers was probably not going to change. So there were a lot of reasons in that way. And just to let folks know, as we record this, nothing has changed with the coaching yet. but it may happen at any point. In fact, by the time you listen to this, they may have already made an announcement on a coach, either a coaching change or Jim Ferry staying. And it leads to the question of, you know, Jim Ferry, was the job he did this past season worthy of him staying on? Or do you just look at it, well, he was the interim coach to begin with, that's what it was, and a new search was going to go on for an outsider regardless of his performance of this year?
I do think that they were going to evaluate and do a coaching search throughout the season. Just such unique circumstances to try to figure out what your leadership is going to be within the program. But I think Jim Ferry was a candidate, but he had to coach his way into the actual consideration. This wasn't a situation where he was ever the guy to beat, I feel like. He needed to do something on the court that inspired confidence that he could be the full-time coach. And I don't think that we really saw that this past season. There was a lot of stuff going on. It's an unprecedented kind of season for them. But I don't think you saw enough from a Jim Ferry coach team to say he's got to be our guy moving forward. I think they needed to do more.
And the other unique circumstance for this, Dustin, and even more unique for Penn State than other teams, number one, seniors could stay on for another year if they so choose. The second part to this is there was word that a lot of players were not happy with the way things went down with Pat Chambers leaving the program. And we might see also an exodus of more players from this team. How does a new coach or Jim Ferry himself deal with all of that? There's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on. I think there's going to be a lot going on no matter who the next coach is. So I think just being able to let's bunker up here. This is going to be a bumpy couple year ride before we install our program, before we get our players, before we fill our roster up. I mean, the good news, I think, with the way that transfers are working, Penn State should be able to get a handful of guys if they want them, who have some experience that are able to stabilize the ship a little bit. But I think it could get worse before it gets better. That's my expectation here for the next few weeks.
And no matter who it is, they are going to expect to have a few years to get it together, make it their team. And we have seen patience in this basketball program before, giving coaches plenty of time to turn things around. All right, Dustin. That's it for quarter number one. Quarter number two, we're going to get back to football and spring practice. Stay tuned.
March's biggest tournament is finally here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting new customers in the center of action. Bet $4 on an underdog. Win $256 if they win. It's that simple. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app and sign up using code KSN. That's code KSN for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the goat.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.